So, we've taken by this time, taking rather a long time over it, we've taken our third look into the mirror. We've seen where we are. We've seen the mental state we are in. We've seen the next step to be taken according to that state. Now we must take a fourth look into the mirror. And what do we see this time? We see the old man with his stick, we see the potter with his wheel and pots, the monkey climbing the flowering tree, and so on. We see, in other words, the 12 nidanas or the 12 links. Briefly, we see how it all happens, how it all comes about. See how we pass from one state of conditioned existence to another, one conditioned state of mind to another. See all the different stages of the process. See how it all happens, how it all comes about. In other words, we see the whole process of what we sometimes call the reactive mind, the whole mechanism of that reactive mind, and seeing it, really seeing it, at this stage, as we look for the fourth time into the mirror, we are free from it. We've seen through the mind, and we pass beyond. And then, after a while, we look in the mirror again. And what do we see this time? This time, we see the monster. We come face to face with death, with the fact of universal, of cosmic impermanence. We see that conditioned existence, that is to say, existence that comes into being in dependence on causes and conditions, is not only impermanent, is not ultimately real, is not absolutely real. But we see also, at the same time, even more than that. We see further than that, deeper than that. In the depths of the unreal, in the depths of the unreality of conditioned existence, we see, as it were, gleaming there. Just like a pearl at the bottom of the sea, we see the real, the ultimately real, the absolutely real, right in the depths of the unreal. Constituting even, as it were, another dimension of the unreal itself, not even really separate from the unreal. So, we look even again into the mirror. And what do we see now? This time we see the Buddha. Maybe not up there in the right-hand corner, but right at the center of things. We see the Buddha. We see enlightenment itself. We see, in Mahayana terms, our own original face. We experience directly what we truly and essentially are in the depths of our being. We see our own original face. And then what do we see? We see the Bodhisattva. Not only the Buddha, the Bodhisattva. The hare in the full moon is the Bodhisattva. In other words, is the Buddha in one of his previous incarnations. The incarnation in which, according to the Jatakas, he sacrificed his body in the fire to provide a meal for a hungry guest. And as so often in legends of this sort, the guest turned out to be Indra, the king of the gods, in disguise. So he restored the hare to life, and as a reward, he drew his picture in or on the full moon as an everlasting testimony to his spirit of generosity and self-sacrifice. So according to Indian legend, you see the hare in the moon, even today, and you think of the Bodhisattva. You think of his generosity. You think of his self-sacrifice. In India, it's not an old man in the moon, it's the hare in the moon. But what is meant by Bodhisattva? Bodhisattva is not just a person, not just a personification. Bodhisattva means, or seeing the Bodhisattva means, seeing the spirit of enlightenment at work in the whole world process, in the cosmos, and seeing ourselves to the extent that we lead a spiritual life as part and parcel of that. We see, first of all, the Buddha, that is, our own original face, Buddhahood out of time. And then we see that same reality, that same Buddha principle at work in time, through the cosmic process, the process of the higher evolution. We see the Bodhisattva. Then we look for the last time in the mirror. And now, what do we see? We don't see anything at all. We don't even see the mirror. The mirror itself has disappeared. There's nothing to see. There's nobody to see it. And yet, at the same time, mysteriously, everything is seen. Everything is heard. Everything is understood. Everything is realized. We can say that the symbolism of the Tibetan Wheel of Life has been transcended. We can say that the symbolism of the Tibetan Wheel of Life has been fulfilled.